a spark, a seed, a drop, a single tiny movement that causes the earth to shake, a blaze to ignite, a life to begin. It all starts small, barely noticeable. It takes time, it takes patience. It takes an action, a movement, a change in thought, a catalyst that sets in motion what you never thought possible because you believed it not to be true. But because of that small work, thought, word, habit, the biggest difference began to take shape. And so, it became.
Well, good morning, Friendship. How are you this morning? All right. Somebody over here is really good. Okay. We're going to begin this morning a new series called Small Things, Big Difference. And you know, we're going to talk each week about a different small thing, often that we find in nature. And we think, really, to make an impact, we have to make a big splash, right? You have to do something big. You think about your life, and you go, man, we've got to make big changes. We've got to make big alterations. We've got to make big things. You know, process back to last January, okay? The new year began. And you began this list of all these big changes in your life that you were going to make. You were going to lose 150 pounds. You're going to stop eating chocolate. You're going to exercise 17 hours a day. You're going to do all these big, massive things. And how many of them actually became reality? Probably none. Because they got so big, you got overwhelmed. You just couldn't do it. And you ended up throwing up your hands and you said, it's impossible. There's no way I can do this because it's too big. It's too much. There's too many things that I have to change to be able to actually do this. And so this whole series is all about going, you know what, take a step back. Stop focusing on these big things that you think you need to change in your life, and let's zero in on some small things. Some small things that are easy to conquer in your life, some small things that you can begin to do, some small changes that you can begin to make, but that will actually, over time, make a radical difference in how you live your life. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about these small things that we see in nature. And today we're going to talk about acorns. Acorns. You know, acorns are awesome. Look at this little thing. It's so cute, isn't it? The acorns really are only good for people that like Pinterest, and I'm pretty sure that there's about 12,000 things that you can do in decorating with acorns on Pinterest. I've not looked it up, but feel free. I'm sure somebody will come up to me afterwards and go, actually, it's 12,224. But there's acorns. You know, I mean, you think about it. It's so small. It's insignificant. I don't even think that human beings can eat it without getting sick. I think the only things that can eat this are like squirrels and deer, and that's about it. And it's pretty much, other than that, it's useless. But what's interesting about an acorn is that if you're willing to do one small thing, like put it in the ground, something unbelievable begins to happen. It begins to grow. It begins to develop a root system. It begins to draw all the nutrients and the things that it needs. It soaks up the sun through photosynthesis, and it begins to change and transform. And eventually, this little tiny acorn, given enough time, will grow into a mighty oak tree. And it's an amazing thought to think that this little, tiny, insignificant thing can somehow become a mighty oak tree. And what's interesting is that when you think about it, an oak tree, as it grows, not only does it grow, but it also transforms the landscape around it. Its root system begins to develop. It begins to change because of the shade that it gives. Different things either begin to grow or they begin to die. And it grows and it changes and it impacts everything that's around it, all because of one small thing. You're willing to plant the acorn in the ground. And so as I think about that, and as I thought about that, you know, that's the perfect illustration to talk about this thing in our life, that if we can change one small thing, if we can do one small thing, it could potentially grow into something that dramatically impacts every area of our life, or every area at least that it touches. And so what we typically do when we think about change is we begin to think about all the things that we need to change, right? We begin to sit down and make a list. Well, I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I got to do this. And an hour and a half and 17 single-space pages later, we throw up our hands and say, it's impossible. There's just no way I can do all these things. And so today, listen, relax. I don't want you to start thinking about all the things that you've screwed up in your life. I don't want you to process and all the things that you need to change. I don't want you to try to create a list. I don't want you to do any of that. I want you to think about the little things, the small things that are going to make a big difference. You know, it's really interesting. When we think about God, we tend to think about God as God being concerned about the big things, right? Because God's big. I mean, he's everywhere all the time. He's all powerful. He's all these things. So God is big. And so God concerns himself because he's big with the big things. Like God cares about, nations going against each other. God cares about earthquakes or mudslides down in a third world country. God cares about these big things. But you know that God cares incredibly much about the little things in your life. In fact, the things that you don't even often think about, God cares so much about those little things because those little things, I almost said means a lot. But there, what's that song, Little Things Mean a Lot or whatever it is? But anyway, it's ADD. Okay, so back to our topic. You know, the little things God cares so much about, so much so that Jesus Christ actually preached an entire sermon on little things. It's recorded for us in Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12, and he says this. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibility. So pause for a second. Here's what Jesus is saying. See, listen, the reason that I care about the little things in life is this. How you handle the little things in life are predictors or determiners of how you will handle the big things. How you handle the small challenges in life will essentially be the same way you handle the big challenges in life. So if a bug shows up in your house and you freak out like a burglar just burst in your house shooting things all over the place, anybody like that? Okay, you're going to probably freak out at the big thing too. If you are calm and you're relaxed and you squish the bug, because that is exactly why God made those bugs, just to be squished and killed and taken out of your home, then you'll probably be calm in the big things in life. If you, like the small thing, cleaning your room, and you don't do that, and you procrastinate, and you wait until the very last minute, then the reality is that probably in the big things in life, guess what you'll do? You'll procrastinate until you absolutely have to do it, and then you'll rush around like a crazy person trying to do that. So Jesus says, listen, the reason that God cares so much about the little things in your life is because those things and how you handle those things determine and predict how you're going to handle the big things in life. So right now, for just a second, ask yourself, how do I handle little things? How do I handle the small things in my life? And you know what? It may begin to open up a picture for you to help you realize why you handle the big things the way that you handle them. Because you know what? No wonder I deal with the little things this way, so that's how I deal with the big things. Jesus goes on. He says, you know what? The little things, if you're faithful in those, you'll be faithful in the large ones. If you're dishonest in those, you'll be dishonest with the ones. And he says, and if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the great and true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? Are you the person that borrows somebody's thing and takes it back and it's in worse condition than when you borrowed it? nobody wants to admit to that one, right? But you know, he says, listen, how you deal with other people's things is how you'll deal with the things if you get them yourselves. And so God says this. Now just take this, take a step back and look at this whole verse. And here's what Jesus is saying. If you don't handle the small things well, you won't handle the big things well. And so if you won't handle the big things well, why in the world would I ever give you the opportunity to do big things? Why in the world would I ever give you the chance to do something big if you can't handle that which is small? Jesus says this, the small things make the big things happen. The big idea for today is that, very simply, the small things make the big things happen. The small things that nobody pays attention to, the small things that nobody wants to do, are the things that actually make the things that everybody wants a reality in your life. The small things, when no one's paying attention, are the things that lead to the big things that happen on the biggest stages of the world. For example, I love football. I love watching football. I've not enjoyed watching football so far this year because the Colts have been miserable. But, you know, I love watching football. I just love watching it. And oftentimes I'll go to, like, Scotty's Brewhouse or BW3's or some other guys. We'll sit there and we'll watch the game. And inevitably, at some point in time, this happens. A wide receiver lets the ball go between, you know, through his hands. A running back runs for like 0.1 yard or you know, half a yard or something like that. An offensive lineman misses a block. A quarterback misses a throw. And somewhere in the bar, you always hear it, right?
He goes, well, I could have made that throw. I could have caught that ball. I could have run through that hole.
No. You couldn't. And let me tell you why. Because we look at that person and we go, man, that was so easy. What we don't realize is that the guys around them are like 7 foot tall, 450 pounds, and can run faster than the fastest person that we know. Because these guys have spent thousands and thousands and thousands, literally thousands of hours when no one's watching, doing the small things so that they can be on the big stage and do the big things. And we razzed Trent Richardson for years, right? You know, his 3.1 or whatever it is, yards per carry. What an imbecile. What a horrible. And if, you know what? Put on the pads. You get the ball. He's going to run 3.0 yards more than you would. Simply because we don't realize how much hard work and how hard it is to do those things. And so we do that with other people in our life, too. We see the people that are big successes, right? We go, man, if I had all the opportunities that they had, I would be that. You know what? The reason they had those opportunities is because they were willing to do the small things, because small things make the big things happen. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to process the small things in your life, and then over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about three ways and three small things that you can do to be able to make the changes that are necessary. Next week, we're going to talk about your thoughts, because the Bible says that as a man thinks, so he is or so he becomes. Because your thoughts drive your actions. Your thoughts drive your beliefs, and your beliefs drive your actions. So your thoughts are incredibly important. And the next week, we're going to talk about your words. Words matter. I think my family gets irritated with me because I say it all the time. Words matter. What you say matters. It makes a difference. What you say really determines and shows what you believe, and then you hear it and you believe it that much more. Words matter. What you say matter. In fact, the Bible says that there is the power of life and death in your tongue. The power of life and death. In your tongue. And then the third week we're going to talk about, or fourth week we're going to talk about habits. Habits. Now we're not going to go like, okay, you need to break these bad habits. No, we're going to talk about the fact that what you do is what you become. What you do on a regular basis leads to what you will eventually become. So if you are faithful, if you are patient, if you are diligent, guess what? You will become faithful, you'll become patient, you'll become diligent. And so creating the type of habits that you need necessary to be able to make the small changes in your life. So the question you may ask is, okay, well, small things, all these different things, that's great. Well, where do I start? Where do I start? You start with one thing. You don't try to take all the small things. You don't try to take all the things. You start with one thing. And so what I want to do really quickly is just take a second. I want to talk to you about a person that did small things, but they made a huge impact. You may have heard of him. His name is Jesus. Do you know that Jesus specialized in small things? Think about it. He washed feet. He taught children. He spent time in seemingly, you know, random conversations with blue-collar workers. He fed the poor. He ministered to those that nobody else would talk to. Yet Jesus made the biggest difference that any person has ever made on the planet. Yet he specialized in small things. And I know some of you are going, well, yeah, but he also walked on water. Yeah, that would be really cool. But do you know what led up to that? The small things. Because small things make the big things happen. And Jesus didn't do these things in spite of his greatness. He did these things because of his greatness. So let's start with that one thing. What's your one thing? So I want you to think for just a second. at all the small things, all the things in your mind, and I want you to ask yourself, if you could be, if you could make changes, if you could make a difference, if you could make an impact, what area, what thing in your life would you say, if I could make a change, this is what I would do? If I could become something, this is what I could I would become. If I could do something, this is what I would do. Think about that one thing, that thing that you go, man, more than anything else, I want to be, become, do all of these things. And I'll give you an example to help you kind of understand what I'm talking about. Let's say you're a guy and you've got children, you're married, you've got children, and you're like, yes, I want to be the best father ever. You go, man, I just want to be the best dad who could possibly ever have been. And so you begin to think about that. Your one thing is to be the best dad possible. So you begin to think about the things that you need to do to be the best dad possible. And here's the thing that's really cool. Just like this little acorn, when it grows, begins to impact and change all the landscape around it. Listen to this. If you go, okay, I want to be the best dad I possibly can be. And you begin to research how to be the best dad. And it says, listen, you know what? Hollering at your kids is a bad idea. Okay, so I should learn some instructive and good ways to be able to talk with my children in a better manner. And you begin to develop those things. And so you holler less at your house and, you know, and your kids. And guess what happens in your home? Your home gets calmer. And your kids don't, you know, kids are like, I actually want to be around dad. This is great. And you get less cranky because now your kids are around you more. And then you read and you go, you know what, one of the best things that you can do as a dad is to actually show affection and love their mom. You go, okay, I'm going to treat her better. I'm going to talk to her nicer. I'm going to do this. It's because not because you're trying to have a better marriage, but because you want to be a better dad. And so you start talking to her nicer and you start spending time. She goes, I kind of like being around him. And then you sit and watch TV. She sits next to you and you watch TV and you watch the Hallmark Channel because you want to make her feel good. And somehow you just got to be quiet. I know it's the worst acting on the planet, but somehow just try to be quiet and be like, I can't even do it anymore. But anyways, you're sitting there, and you know what? You spend time with her, and then guess what happens? She begins to change, and she wants to spend more time with you, and then even better things happen that you really like. And it's really, you know, just this whole growth and this whole process that begins to take place. And what's amazing is all you did is you focused on being a better dad. But because you focused on being a better dad, it impacted all these areas in your life. You see, what we want to do is we want to impact all these areas at the same time. And so we look at everything, and because we're overwhelmed, we do nothing. So if you'll just start on the one thing, it actually begins to impact everything. And what's really cool about it is that the Bible often refers to this exact principle, the one thing. When Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house, and because there was a crowd coming, Martha, who was the homemaker, decided that she needed to do everything. And she's in the kitchen, she's making things, and she's making, you know, pot pies, and she's making, you know, lamb stew and possum, whatever, I don't know. But she's back in there making, and Mary, her sister, is sitting listening to Jesus and just sucking it all in. And Martha walks out, she's Mary sitting on the ground, and he's like, in the kitchen doing all the work, she's out here enjoying herself. What's the matter? I mean, she's the woman of the house. She's not supposed to enjoy herself. What's the matter with this? So she comes out and she says to Jesus, Jesus, tell Mary to help me. Come on. Jesus says, chill out. It's a rough translation. He says, you know what? There is one thing that matters most. Paul in the book of Philippians says, you know what? There is one thing that I do, forgetting the past and my mistakes and my problems, and I focus on what is ahead. David in the Psalms says, there's one thing that I want, God, one thing that I want more than anything else, and that is to seek you. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, you've done all these great things, but there's one thing that you are still lacking. It's all you have anything for. You see, all throughout the Bible, it reminds us that it's not the big things, it's not everything, it's the one thing, whatever that one thing is. Now, if you are a blank filler, I'm just going to let you know right now that you're going to walk out of here with some blanks that will be unfilled. Take a deep breath. It's okay. It's all good. Remember, the small things determine how the big things. So this is a small thing. It's not big. Don't freak out, because I know some of you, I've gotten emails before. I missed this blank. Can you tell me what it is, please? Because it went home blank. So there's going to have some blanks in your paper, so I'm just telling you ahead of time. If you're a spreadsheet lover, blank filler, then just know there's going to be some blanks. You're going to be empty. Everyone okay? All right, we're going to move forward. Here we go. So here's what you need to do. First of all, there's this thing that's called your one thing, and then there's a blank next to it. We're not going to fill in that blank for you. That's for you to fill in. As you think about your life, and as you process, and as you think about what you could do, what you could change, what difference you could make, that's your one thing. And you go, well, the one thing that came to my mind when you said that just doesn't seem to make any sense. Let me tell you something. There's something that we believe in. It's called the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that if you've accepted Jesus Christ, you are filled with the Spirit, and His job is to guide and direct our lives, our minds, and our thoughts so that we become more like Christ. So as I'm talking about that, if something popped into your head as the one thing, even if it seems silly and small, my guess would be that it's probably the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you really need to do this. Either that or it's your wife whispering into your ear, you really need to do this. Either way, I would suggest that you do it. And whatever that one thing is, write it down right now. Fill it in the blank. Your one thing. What is your one thing? What's the one thing that you go, you know what? I want to be able to impact change in my life and the lives of those that I touch. And so therefore, this is my one thing. Now, I see a lot of you still looking at me and going, yeah, that's great. No. Look at your paper with your pen and fill in your one thing. Seriously, fill it right in. What is your one thing? If it has to do with the person next to you and you're worried about them seeing it, fill it in with your hand over your paper like this, and then fold your paper down over that answer. But what is your one thing? Write it down. There is power in writing it down. You go, oh, that's silly. No, it's not. There is power in writing it down. It's like it makes it real. And so write down your one thing. Whatever it is, write it down. If you were worried that someone's going to make fun of you, just tell them, shut up. God loves me, and so deal with it. That's my one thing. This is my one thing. Write it down. Because here's why you need to write it down. Because we're going to boil it down. We're going to help you put it into real action in your life over the next 3 weeks. And to make that small change that will make the big thing happen. So we do this actually a lot here at Friendship. And you may have not have recognized it, but I'll just kind of lay it out over the last couple of years. At the end of 2013, we're talking about the fact that as our church continues to grow, we need to be able to make more room and more space so more people can come to know Jesus Christ. And so we talked about this building process and all the things that were going on, and we gave that one thing to be able to make more space for more people to experience Jesus Christ, experience a life-changing reality of Jesus Christ. We called it momentum, one word. So we took our one thing and we made one word out of it. But not only did we give it one word so that everyone knew, because we would say momentum and everyone knew what we were talking about, we would also use a passage in the Bible, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, where Jesus Christ is talking to Peter and he says, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to stand against it. And so Jesus says, listen, you need to understand this, Peter, that you're the one that I want you to take this thing forward and move it, make it happen. But reality is that the rock is not you, Peter. The rock is the fact that I am Jesus. I am the Son of the living God. And so here's the truth that we understood with that. Here's kind of the thing that we're talking about. And it's when Jesus leads the way, the church is unstoppable. So we called it momentum. And over the last 2 years, we've been talking about that, the momentum project, momentum, 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 and we use that word. It brings all that imagery and all those thoughts back to you if you were here during that process. The end of last year, 2014, we began to talk about the fact that as we grew, we wanted to continue to reach more people. If there was just one more person who needed to know Jesus Christ, then we needed to continue to reach people for Jesus Christ. That we were asking, if we want one more person to come to know Jesus Christ. We want one more family saved. We want one more life restored. We want one more marriage put back together. One more family, the pieces put back together their life. And so we began to use that phrase all the time, one more. In fact, if you look around, you probably see t-shirts that have one more on them. You're like, what does that mean? Do they want one more what? You know, one more. Want one more person to be able to experience Jesus Christ. And we use this passage in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 9, verse 22, it says, Paul is talking, he says, to the weak I became weak, to win the weak I have become all things to all people, so that all possible means I might save some. So here's what I want you to do. Take your one thing and boil it down to one word. What's your one thing? We'll use the example I was using earlier. Let's say you say, I want to be the best dad I can possibly be. Okay, that's pretty easy. Boil it down to one word, Father. Father. And so every time you think about that, you immediately think about that one word, Father. And maybe you're having a conversation with your kid, and they're really irritating you because they didn't pick up the room. Not that that ever happens. And you begin to feel the burning bubbling within inside of you. and you think, I'm about ready to holler. And immediately you think, Father, okay, I want to be the best that I possibly can be. Probably in this situation, hollering wouldn't be best. How can I possibly work through this process with them? And that one word reminds you of all those things. Maybe it's, you know what, I want to be the absolute best at my job, whatever your job may be. I want to be the best technician, the best mechanical engineer, the best architect, the best artist, the best photographer, whatever. And you boil it down to that one word. And so in the moment when you're struggling to maybe get up early in the morning to catch that sunset or that sunrise shot, or to get up early in the morning to be able to get into work, to be able to get those things done that need to be done, or whatever the case may be, you're sitting there and you think of that one word that motivates you and goes, yes, okay, that's what I'm striving for. These are the things I need to do. And you get up and you begin to go do those things. So boil it down to one word. And then, and this is the blank that most of you are going to have, blank. And just, it's okay. Now find your one verse. What's your one verse that you can put to memory? And so when you think, and we'll use again that Father, you think, I want to be the best dad ever. Father, and you're reminded of the verse in Ephesians which says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. You're reminded of the greatness of God the Father who loved you so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for your sins, expressing his love to you, giving you the opportunity to have a restored relationship with him. And you go, God, I want to be like that to my kids. And you begin to process through those things. So this week, as you take this home, I want you to take your one thing as you boil it down to one word and be able to find that one verse that you can hang your hat on. That when everything else is falling apart, you're reminded, listen, I need to do one thing. And that one thing is this. And this is my one word. And this is my one verse, which will give me the energy and the passion to be able to continue moving on, even in difficult things, because small things make the big things happen. Now, in the seats in front of you are cards at about this size. I'm going to challenge you to do something that you may go, I'm not comfortable doing that. And that's okay. But I'm going to ask you, if you would, just go ahead and reach and grab those cards, just wherever they are. Maybe the seat beside you, have to ask somebody to hand it to you. And I know somebody will be like, I'm not grabbing that card. You tell me what you want. I'm going to do with it first, because you're going to make me uncomfortable. But I want you to grab it. Just grab the card, get it ready, because you can take it home. You can use it that way if you want to. If you see someone looking and they don't, you know, they don't have a card around them, you know, grab one, throw it back at them, whatever. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Take your one thing. Maybe you've already boiled it down to one word. And I want you to write it on that blank card. And here's why I'm asking you to do that. You can do, if you go, you know what, I don't want to do this, that's fine, at least it's for you, and you've got it on that card to take with you forever. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you, as you leave this morning, to take it over to this side. We've got a bulletin board that simply says, my one thing. And they're going to take those, and they're just going to stick them up there. Now, you can fold it, because we want it to be anonymous. Don't go, my one thing, signed and dated. No, we don't want that. In fact, if you go, everyone knows my handwriting, ask the person next to you to write it for you, and then no one will know your handwriting. But here's why. Because there's something powerful in writing it down, and then over the next 3 weeks, as you walk past that, you see that you're not the only person who needs to change something. Because let's be honest, that's what we think, don't we? We have something in our life, and we go, no one else has ever dealt with this. Do you know that there are countless people who not only have dealt with it, but are in the midst of dealing with it? You just don't know about it. Maybe you're like, I just don't know this whole one thing, this whole idea of one thing. I just don't know that it'll really work. It seems too simple. It seems too, I just don't know. Do you know? Let's just pause for a second. I'm going to prove to you that one thing matters. You ever woken up ready to start your day and everything in your being said, stay in bed? You ever, oh man, I'm not going to lie. Listen, when it was 80 degrees on September 30th and 40 degrees on October 1st, I was like, I don't think so. When did we have instant changes in seasons around here? But anyways, it was just went cold and it was awful and everything within you wants to stay in bed. But you know what? One small word of encouragement can get you out of bed. Maybe you start your day and you start moving and it's awful and your shower's cold and that type of thing. But as you get into work, someone walked up to you and said, "Man, you look great today." You're like, "Yes, I do. This is the greatest day in the world. I'm going to be the most awesome person." And that one small word of encouragement changed your entire day. And you were like, "I can conquer this day. I'm awesome. I look fantastic. Yes." And you can do it. Maybe that same job, you were ready to quit. And someone walked up behind you, put their hand on your back and said, "Man, you rock at this job." And you're like, "Yes, I do. That's right. I'm not leaving this job. I'm going to take it to it. And that one small compliment changed your entire day, your entire being. One small apology can save a marriage. One small thing can make a huge difference. Don't doubt the little things. Because the small things make the big things happen. And because God cares so much about the little things, He has instructed us that we are to also care about the little things and be faithful in the little things. And Jesus Christ told a story. Now, in the Bible, we have to come up with, special things, so it's called a parable. It's just simply a story that Jesus told because He was trying to make a point. And this parable is about a rich ruler who left on a journey, and he called three of his most trusted stewards and advisors, and he gave each one of them an amount of money. He says, "Listen, I want you to take care of this, and I want you to watch over it until I come back. I don't know when I'm going to come back, but when I come back, you're going to have to give an account of that." And so the ruler takes off, and then he comes back, and he starts calling all three of these in. And the first two had taken his money, and they doubled it. And they said, "Here, you gave me 5, here's 10. Here, you gave me 2, here's 4. And the last one, he had been given a small amount, but he was so afraid of doing anything with it that he went out in his backyard, and he dug a hole, and he put it in and poured it over. And so the ruler said to him, "You know what? You were so worried about messing up that you did nothing. So therefore, that which I gave you, I'm taking from you. Because if you're not willing to at least do a small thing, I have nothing I can use you for." But he said this to the other two who took what he had given them, and multiplied it. Matthew 25:21. The master was full of praise. He said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now, I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's have a party. Let's celebrate together because you did it." Here's the thing that I want to leave you with. Each and every one of us has been given the potential to do great things. If you didn't know any better and I said to you, "Hey, right here, this is an oak tree," you'd be like, "No, idiot, it's an acorn." But inside this acorn is all the potential needed for this acorn to become an oak tree. And the Bible tells us that inside of each and every one of you, God has filled you with all the potential you need. Become the man or the woman that God's called you to be. You don't need any special revelation. You don't need lightning to come out of heaven. You don't need the stars to create this form that says, "Hey, I want you to do this." Because God's given you everything you need. But if you're unwilling to take the small things, if you're unwilling to pursue your one thing, you'll always just be an acorn. Full of potential, but never accomplishing anything great. because small things make a big